Ask you a question, first of all, and it is this. Who are you following? Who are you watching and following? There's nothing wrong with following good role models, but the fact is, people will fail you. People will let you down, but we need some good role models. And the fact is that probably all of us are watching somebody to follow and to emulate, or at least to watch them as they follow the Lord Jesus. Paul put it this way. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said that to the church of Corinth. He said that to the church of Philippi. He said that to the church of Thessalonica. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Who are you following today? I hope you're following Jesus, the greatest, just the greatest that you could ever follow would be the Lord, because he won't fail you. He won't disappoint you. And so I want to know one question. It's this. Do you have a personal relationship with him? Not just do you know about him, but do you have that intimate relationship with him? Are you following Jesus day by day? Speaking of following, I was walking last week. I like to walk sometimes as a stress reliever back behind our house, and there's a dirt road, and I was walking down the road, and all of a sudden, out of the left corner of my eye, I noticed this white, fluffy, furry object coming out of the bushes as I was walking down the road. I looked again, and probably 10 yards to my left, I noticed it was a white, furry creature. And if it looks like a skunk and smells like a skunk and walks like a skunk, it's a skunk. I don't know if you've ever been a close encounter of a skunk kind, but I smelled the skunk before I saw it. Now, here I am walking down the road. What do you do when when a skunk shows up right beside you? Do you hold your nose? I don't know if it's Pepe Le Pew. I'm not really sure who it was, but I noticed that the skunk just kept walking, and I said, well, should I run? My heart started beating faster. I started saying, be calm, Randy, be calm, okay? I mean, have you been that close to a skunk? I mean, we're talking about just within just a few feet. And so I kept walking, and the skunk kept walking. I walked, and the skunk walked, and by, next thing I know, the skunk just ventured off the trail and went into the woods, and I said, I'll see you later. But I tell you, we're following somebody, and I don't know who you're following, and thank God that skunk didn't follow me, but we can follow the Lord Jesus. And this message that God's got on my heart today is this. If you're one of those that takes notes, you might want to note the fact of faithful to the finish, following Jesus, faithful to the finish. Now, make no mistake about it. We don't have to guess about if the Lord wants us to follow him. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Let's say that together. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Say it again. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So we know that he wants us to follow him, and that's just no doubt about it. And take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Stand to your feet, please, as we have the privilege of reading the wonderful Word of God this morning. Luke, chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. There may be somebody you today that you said, you know, I used to follow the Lord, but I haven't been following close here lately. Maybe you're following at a guilty distance rather than close to the Lord Jesus. I believe a lot of us, matter of fact, all of us probably could get a little closer to the Lord. And maybe we're not really following, pursuing him. But can I tell you something? As you turn to Luke chapter 9, this old world is not going to be won by casual, compromising Christians. It's not going to be turned upside down by backslidden believers. I'm telling you, this old ice-cold world, the only way it's going to be thawed out is going to be by committed Christians, devoted disciples, faithful followers of the Lamb of God. And I know there's many of you that are here today that you've been following the Lord a long time, and I pray that God will bless you and encourage you to keep on following him. But if our world is going to be thought out, it's going to be by you and me. And God, help us today to take some time to wait on Jesus and spend time in His presence and confess our sins to the Lord and let Him fill us up with Holy Spirit power and reach out to a lost world. There's a lost world out there right here in God bless Jasper County, up Highway 11 and Highway 212 and over by Jackson Lake Road, back here at County Line Road. I mean, they're just all around. There's people that are lost and undone, people that don't have direction, and if they die, they're going to die without God and go to a devil's hell to spend eternity. And if that doesn't bother you, if that doesn't somehow, some way cause you to say, you know what, this life is just not about me, I'm praying today that God will help us launch out a little further, go the extra mile, be more committed, willing to follow our Lord, because thank God it'll be worth it one day. Luke chapter 9, we begin reading in verse 57. Luke 9 and 57, if you're there, would you say amen? And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee. Notice, I will follow thee whithersoever thou go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds have the air, have nests. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me, that is, permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go bid them farewell, and which are at home at my house. And notice verse 62, Jesus said unto him, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the wonderful word of God, and may God bless it to our heart this morning. And the church said, Father, we love you now. We bless you. We're hungry, thirsty for heaven's help. We pray now that you tug at our hearts. You give us grace to let go of any and everything that keeps us from pursuing holiness and righteousness and selling out to you. Lord, there's a lot of distractions out there. And Father, we confess we need a mighty infusion of divine life from above. Our God and Father, we pray now that you'll speak and work and cut us loose from every weight and all the sin, our Lord, that keeps us from becoming the men of God, the women of God, the young people of God that you called us to be. Lord, we know time is short. And Father, we recognize we live in a dark and in a desperate world that needs so badly to experience your grace and taste of your grace and be washed in the blood, and Lord, have a life transformation. Thank you now for the faithful followers of yours that are here this morning. And Lord, there's others today that, Lord, need to step out and need our God to let go of some things and take up a cross, as you told us, and follow you. We love you now. We bless you now. I pray, Lord, for that one person here that's never been transformed and birthed in your kingdom. Oh, blessed God, break up the fallow ground, draw them, Spirit of God, and quicken the word of God in their heart, and may they, Father, come alive for the first time. We thank you now and praise you for the blood of the Lamb. We bless you now. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. There are three real reasons why you and I need to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three real reasons. Really, there's five. Let me back up. There are five. Let me share it with you. Five. The Lord birthed in my heart in the message today why we need to be followers of the Lamb of God. Five real reasons, and here they are. Number one, because of the temptation of procrastination. Temptation of procrastination. Number two, because of the unbeliever's final destination. Number three, because of our Lord Jesus' invitation. Number four, because of our, the believer's transformation, and number five, because of this earth's evacuation. I'll come back to each one. Don't worry about it if you didn't get them all. Number one, why we need to be faithful followers, sold out to God. I'm telling you, this day and time in America, it's not calling for Christians to just be happy. Of a time to just kind of hit and miss. This time in our life, in our generation, is calling for some real men and some real women of God to follow the Lord Jesus, stand up and be counted. And the church said, the reason America's like she is because we got half-hearted disciples and some that profess they know God, but in the works they deny God. And there's this head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. There's this outward profession, but really no inward possession. And if God's going to change this community, and if God is going to change our land, it's going to be, I believe, it's going to come through the church of the living God. It's going to come through disciples, believers. Tell me, are you following the Lord? Are you in love with Jesus as much as you've been all your life? Have you just kind of become cold and indifferent? Have you just kind of gotten kind of lukewarm? Have you just gotten to the place where it's just a kind of a casual Christianity? Are you really on fire for God these days? I'm telling you, God wants to send some fire and ignite some fires in our heart, because we just kind of gotten used to this old world the way it is, a sin-sick, devil-possessed world. But I'm glad, thank God, God's going to touch some hearts this morning. God's going to touch some hearts this morning. You can keep on being backslidden if you want to. You can keep on following the world if you want to, but we will be the losers when we follow the world instead of following Jesus. I'm telling you, he's got the much more for us. Praise God. He is altogether lovely and worthy. He deserves our all. Yea, he demands our all. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he saved me. I'm glad that he keeps me. I'm glad, praise God, one day he's going to take me to heaven, and there's not anybody else that I would rather follow than Jesus, because he is God supreme. Number one, the temptation to procrastination. That's the real reason why we ought to follow the Lord Jesus, the temptation to procrastination. Do you realize, my brother? Do you realize, my sister? Let me just take a little survey. How many of you today would say, no doubt about it, I know I'm saved, I know I'm blood bought and blood washed, I know I'm a child of God? Let me see your hand. All right, hold it up. There's not a single person in this place that did not hold their hand up. I don't think I noticed maybe one or perhaps, but there was not more than that, if even that. That means we're all professed to be Christians, okay? All right, what does that mean? Does that mean God's got a message for us? Yep. Here's the first real reason why we ought to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus. Number one is because of the temptation of procrastination. Do you know what happened in the account here? There was a man that came to Jesus and said, I will follow you. And Jesus said, follow me. Well, but wait a minute, first I got to go home and bury my father. And in essence, some suggest that he was talking about, well, I'm going to live with my father, and then when he dies, I'm going to bury him. Nothing wrong with that. The Lord wouldn't want us to neglect our father, because he said, honor your father and mother. But I want you to know, hear me well, when we put anybody or anything else before Jesus, it becomes an idol. And so he says, here is procrastination. How many are putting off? Well, I think I'll start reading my Bible, but I'll do it tomorrow. I think I'll start witnessing, but I think I'll do it tomorrow. I think I'll start going to church more often, but I think I'll do it later. Putting off, procrastinating. And there are two dangers, if you're taking notes, two dangers in this matter of procrastination. Number one, procrastination is contagious. Do you realize, my dear friend, do you realize, my dear sister and brother, today that people are watching you? How many believe that people are watching you? How many believe that today there's probably some crowd over in your neighborhood that knows if your car's not there? They see you riding down the road. They know where you're going. They see if you're carrying a Bible. They hear you at work. They watch you at work. They watch you at school. They're watching you. They're watching me. And procrastination is contagious. It's kind of like the old flu bug. How many had the flu bug this year? Oh, listen, brother, that thing is bad, and it's spreading all around America, and thank God now it's hitting the low, so I'm told. But it was a real epidemic. So is procrastination. It's contagious. It's spreading like the flu bug. And speaking of the flu bug, I heard about a lady and a man that went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at the lady and said to her, said, ma'am, you are stressed to the max. He said, your nerves are shot. He went to the husband. He said, "Listen, sir." He said, "Her nerves are shot. She's stressed to the max." And the man said, "Well, she won't listen to me." And the doctor said, "That's a start." Did you hear about the doctor that went home and he found his basement absolutely flooded? I mean, the plumbing had evidently burst and it sprung a leak and his whole basement was flooded with water. So he called the plumber. And the plumber showed up and he was there 5 minutes and he fixed the problem. And he handed the doctor a $100 bill. That is, the bill was for $100. That is, he expected the doctor to pay him $100, the plumber. He gave him a bill that was for $100. The doctor looked at him and said, "Sir, you hadn't been here 5 minutes. $100 for 5 minutes." He said, "Man, that calculates almost to $1,000 an hour." He said to the plumber, he said, "Man, I don't even make that much." The plumber looked at him and said, "I didn't either when I was a doctor." But procrastination is real. Is there anybody here that's been putting off? Is there anybody here that's just been saying, "Man, I know that I should be going to Sunday school. I know that I should be involved in Awanas. I know that I should be involved in the prayer team. I know that it's more than sitting at home and watching television and griping and grumbling about everything going on." God says, go a little further. Jesus said, "No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And then secondly, there's a second danger under this temptation of procrastination. The second danger is this. Not only is it contagious, but I want you to know when we procrastinate, it influences others. It's a danger. And watch this now. Don't miss it. We get used to it. Hear me, we get used to it. We get used to making excuses for not serving God. We get used to making alibis for not living a life of holiness. We get used to it. It kind of reminds me of the story, a true story, that they were doing a research on some animals, and they took a dog now and they put him in a cage. They took a dog and put him in a cage. They hooked wires to that cage and they shot that dog. Yep! The dog yelped when they first shot that cage. The dog's inside the cage. They shocked it again. Yep! The dog yelped again. They shocked it again. Yep! They shocked it again. Yep. They shocked it again. Yep. They shocked it again until the point he stopped yelping. They were shocking it and the dog would not even yelp. He got used to the shock. They opened the door of the cage and was going to let the dog go. The dog sat there in the cage. He had gotten used to being shocked. They put a new dog in the cage with the old dog. And they shocked the cage. The new dog went, yep. The old dog just sat there, didn't say anything. They shocked the cage again. The new dog went, yep. Then they opened the door. The new dog ran out as fast as he could. Listen to this. The old dog saw the new dog run out and he ran out too. He was shocked to the point that he wasn't even responding. I want you to know, sin has a way of shocking us. Sin has a way of getting us used to it. We get used to just backsliding from God. We get used to doing our own thing, and sin just keeps on shocking us, and the devil keeps on shocking us, and the devil just keeps on. But by and by, if we're not careful, we get used to compromising. We get used to alibiing ourselves and our sin and being backslidden from God. And God says, no, sometimes, hear me now, hear me. Sometimes we need somebody else to show us the way to get out of sin. Sometimes, like that old dog that got used to being shocked, he needed a new dog, somebody to show him, here's the way that thing works, the Holy Ghost of God. Woo, 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 woo. He's ringing that alarm when we disobey God. Woo, woo. And that alarm's going off. You know this is wrong. You know this isn't right. But you know what we do? We get used to the sin. We get used to stuff around us. And we just hit the snooze button. We just cut off the alarm. We need somebody else that comes around us. Somebody else that's full of God. Somebody else that's walking in the light. Somebody else that says, bless God, I might be in the world, but I'm not going to be of the world. We, like that old dog, need somebody to blaze the trail before us. I'm asking you, you're going to do that this morning? You're going to be somebody say, hey, bless God, I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not going to get used to sin. I'm not going to get used to Adabine excusing my old lazy self and my backslidden self from God. I'm going to say, bless God, I want to follow Jesus to the end. You want to be a backslidden Christian? God said, you can go ahead and do it if you want to. Procrastination. Somebody ought to step out today and say, you know, I hadn't been doing everything right. I hadn't been living right. I've been just kind of compromising my conviction. I've been watching some stuff. I've been doing some stuff. I've not been doing some stuff that I know I need to do. I need to serve God. I need to make a difference. And I've just kind of gotten used to being my own little God. Oh, there's a second real reason why we need to be faithful followers of the Lord, not only because of the temptation of procrastination, number two, because of the unbeliever's final destination. That man said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. He said, go and preach the kingdom of God. Listen, the unbelievers, their final destination. Here's a true story about a king in England. The king in England had sentenced a man to be executed. The man's mother came to the king and begged for mercy and for pardon. Finally, the king gave in and said, I will not execute your son. And he signed a letter. He handed the letter to his faithful servant and said to that servant, I want you to go over there to the prison and give this letter a seal from the king. It's a letter of pardon. We're going to pardon that man. We're not going to sentence him. And he's not going to have to be executed. Go! Give him the letter. Well, on the way, the servant got the letter. And on the way, as he went over to the prison, he noticed a circus. And he saw a crowd gathering around. There were clowns inside the circus. They were juggling. They were laughing. The people were laughing, having a good time. And he stopped. The servant stopped. He was intrigued by what was going on inside the circus. And he stopped and kept watching and hearing the crowd. And he joined in the crowd and started laughing. Next thing you know, 5 minutes had passed. He said, you know what? I better get down there to the prison. I've got a letter from the king. And so he made his way down to the prison. And about the time he opened the door and he came to the prison, there was the warden sitting at the desk. And he said, here, sir, here's a letter from the king. The warden got the letter. He opened up the letter. He read the letter inside. It was a letter to pardon the man. The warden looked at him and said, sir, if you'd have been here 5 minutes earlier, you could have spared this man. We just executed him 5 minutes ago. And the man thought, the servant, I stopped and watched the clowns. If I'd have got there sooner, it could have been a man's life spared. Can I tell you something? I say this in love. There's far too many Christians today. We're watching the sitcoms and laughing. We're just sitting laughing, and there's nothing wrong with laughing. The Bible says a merry heart do good like medicine. But the fact is, far too many Christians are watching the clowns while souls are going to hell. People are dying, going to hell. People are going to a place. They won't have another prayer. They won't have another chance. They won't have another hope. A place where Jesus said the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place where Jesus said about a rich man that died. He cried out to Lazarus, Lazarus, send forth Lazarus. And he dipped the tip of his finger in water and cooled off my tongue. Jesus said it's a place of torment. Jesus said it's physical torment, mental torment, emotional torment, spiritual torment. In fact, he said there's a great gulf fixed between you, the rich man, and Lazarus, who is in heaven. Tell me, are you concerned with the lost? Tell me, if you really say you're following Jesus, watch this, what's important to Jesus is going to be important to you. I've got a feeling some of us just need to get back on the firing line this morning. I got a feeling some of us just need to get some lost people on our heart again today. I got a feeling that some of us just need to break out of our casual Christianity and our backslidden believing status and say, God, you've got me here. I know there's people around me that need to experience your grace in their life.
God's putting somebody on your heart right now, isn't he? You know somebody that's lost. If you don't know somebody that's lost, you need to get this old-fashioned altar today and say, God, put somebody on my heart that's lost. I'm telling you, Jesus said, if you want to follow him, no man putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There is a second reason. There's a third reason why, real reason why, we need to be faithful followers of Jesus. Not only because of the temptation of procrastination, not only because of the unbeliever's final destination. Number three, because of Jesus' invitation. Jesus' invitation. There's some of you today that you're tired. Aren't you tired? I can look at your face and say, some of you are tired. You've weary. You've been worn down. The devil's beating you back and blue. You got up early this morning, amen? And you're tired, and you need God to refresh you. You need God to restore back the joy of your salvation. And so there's some tiredness and physical weariness. Let me tell you something. Jesus invites you to come to him. How many believe that the Lord says, when we get tired and weary, he says, come to him? For example, in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. How many of us today need to get with the Lord and say, God, I've been stressed, I've been tired, I've been weary. But we'll say, no, I know all that, Brother Pastor, but I'll just keep on doing it. I'll do the best I can. And next thing you know, we get worn down. And Jesus said, if you'll just get with me for a little while, if you'll just get in my presence for a little while, if you'll just get at my feet, there's just something about it. We exchange our strength for his strength. A man told me last week, I just thought of it. He was here last week. His wife was deeply, chronically depressed. And he told me when he left last Sunday morning, he said it was a verse of scripture that brought her out of depression. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. I said, which one? He said, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. I've exalted among the heathen. I've exalted on the earth. He said it was that verse that brought her out. Have you ever been in a state of depression? Have you ever been discouraged or feeling weary? I want you to know the Bible, the Word of God, has a way of bringing us back to life. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, it does. When nothing else will work, thank God, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And we can hide its Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Is there anybody here that needs to get with the Lord today? And then there's another invitation Jesus gives us. I love the story in John chapter 11. I believe that, Brother Jim, you said that's your favorite account of the death of Lazarus and when Jesus stood at the tomb. But wait a minute. Jesus invited Mary to come to him. Have you ever been grieving? Have you ever been lonely? Have you ever felt like nobody cared? Have you ever felt like sad and down? Well, that's the state of Mary. Watch her now. There's Martha and Mary. The brother had died, Lazarus. Jesus shows up 4 days late. No, he's not really late. He's on time. Amen. He's always on time. But there, Martha comes out and meets him, says, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother had not died. Jesus said, he's going to rise from the dead. She said, I know he's going to do it in the resurrection. And they had a little dialogue there, but then here's the point. The point is, Jesus said, where's Mary? She's over there. She's grieving, said Martha. I can almost see Martha. She said, she's in the house now. She's over there. And Jesus said, go tell her. I said, come and see me. I love what Martha said. Martha went back to Mary. You know what he said? He said, Mary, the master calls for you. I'm telling you, when Jesus calls for you, you ought to go. Amen. He's calling for you today. I'm telling you, it's an invitation. When you're tired and weary, come to me, he said. When you're lonely, when you feel sad, when you feel down, when you feel depressed, Jesus said, the master, Martha said, is calling for you. He's calling for you today. I talked with a man this week, and he said, man, I'm having a hard time sleeping. He said, I can't hardly sleep. I'm in pain. I want you to know, thank God, we don't have to count the sheep. Bless God, we can talk to the shepherd. Can I get an amen? Oh, let that morning, that wee hours of the morning, don't let it be wasted. Get up and spend some time with the Lord. Get up and read the Word of God and spend time. I tell you, it won't be time wasted. You might feel a little weary and tired, but praise God, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so, the Lord invites us to come. There's another example found in Scripture, and it's this. How many have ever felt like a failure? Come on, talk to me. How many have ever felt like a failure? Have you ever felt like a failure? Have you ever felt like you let the Lord down? Have you ever, come on now, y'all don't look at me so piously. You know that we probably all have let the Lord down at one time or another. Maybe right now in your heart you're saying, Lord, I hadn't really followed you like I ought to. There's a man that let the Lord down, but he really didn't let the Lord down because the Lord knew that he would get down anyway. His name is Impetuous Peter, the sand man that was turned to the rock man. I'm carrying you to the book of John, and let me tell you what happened. Peter had denied the Lord three times. Jesus knew he would. In fact, Jesus said, Simon, Satan has the desire to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're strengthened, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. That's found in Luke 22, verses 30 and 31. But here's Peter now. He feels discouraged. His only Lord and his only, I mean, he had seen Jesus perform a miracle, and yet he had blown it. He messed up. I believe there's somebody here that's messed up. I believe there's somebody here that's blown it. I believe there's somebody here today that you feel like a failure. Guess what? Jesus has come to me. Come to me. And here's old Peter. He had seen the Lord arrested in the garden after he had denied the Lord. He had seen Jesus crucified on the cross. And in John 21, you know what he said? I'm ready to go fishing again. I'm ready to go fishing. He didn't know what to do. I mean, he had lost his best friend, per se. He didn't understand that the Lord had risen from the dead. And so he says, come on, boys, let's go back to fishing. I know something I am successful at. I can catch fish. He was a professional fisherman before he met the Lord, and then he left his net and followed Jesus. And so in John 21, he says, come on, boys, let's go fishing. You know what happened? I love it. When you feel like a failure, that's when Jesus calls us to himself. Jesus sees Peter and them out in the boat. They've been fishing all night long. It's found in John chapter 21. And Jesus says to them, hey, how many fish you caught? We hadn't caught anything. Man, we've been out here all night long. Hadn't even got a nibble. Jesus said, throw your nets over the side of the boat. He said, nets, plural, not net. In Luke 5, he said, net, N-E-T. But in John 21, he said, nets, N-E-T-S. What's the big point? The point is this. He caught 153 fish. And then he sees this man over on the shore, that is he being Peter, sees a man on the shore. Who is that? He's cooking breakfast. Jesus said, you know what he said to Peter? Come and dine. I got some victuals on. Got some breakfast for you. Is the Lord calling you today? Come and dine. Is he calling you to have some sweet fellowship with him? Aren't you glad? Praise God. The night might get long. There might be weeping in the night. But praise God, the Bible says in John 21, then comes the morning. I'm glad for the morning. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to get that. There's coming a morning. God said there's coming a morning. I know there's coming a resurrection morning. But wait a minute. Look at Peter and Jesus. Can you see him walking on the shore? Peter, do you really love me? I know you failed me. Peter, don't beat yourself up black and blue. I knew you were just Impetuous Peter from the start. I knew that you had to get some of that carnality out of you. I knew that if you leaned on the arm of flesh, you'd fail me every time. But Peter, I'm not finished with you yet. That's some good shouting ground right there. Hallelujah. I'm not finished with you, Peter. I got work for you to do. Nay, you've blown it less today, but thank God today's a new day. Do you really love me, Peter? Jesus has got his arm around him, I'm supposing, in my sanctified imagination. Do you really love me, Peter? You know that I love you, phileo. But Peter, do you agape love me? Do you really love me? Yeah, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Aren't you glad? Praise God. There's an invitation for you today. You blew it yesterday. You failed yesterday. But thank God we serve a God of a second chance. Woo! Glory! I'll tell you, I've blown it many times, and I thank God my Lord said, I'm not finished with you. I said, your history, that's it. No. There's a third real reason, and there's a fourth real reason why you and I need to be followers, faithful followers, to the finish. Here's why. Not only because of the temptation of procrastination, the two in the story. First, let me go bury the dead. First, let me go bid farewell to my family. But then secondly, the unbelievers' final destination. Jesus said, go preach the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, there is Jesus, the Lord Jesus' invitation. Come follow me. No man putting his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. But then there's a fourth real reason. It's this. the believer's transformation. This is what God gave me this week as I was praying and studying and waiting upon the Lord. I'm telling you, discipleship is a major, major issue. Let me just pause there while I'm there. Come on, are you ready for this? If you're ready, say amen. Watch this now. All right? Here's the question I want to pose to you. Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Oh, really? Am I supposed to disciple somebody? Yep. Who are you pouring into? Who are you mentoring? If you're not pouring into somebody, if you're not mentoring somebody, if you're not discipling somebody, you're not following Jesus. Oh, that was hard, but wait a minute. It calls for some self-evaluation. You see, Jesus' principle, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. There's that principle in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, Moses and Joshua, Paul and Timothy, Elijah and Elisha. Listen, the question is, who are you discipling? Tell me, who? Well, I didn't know I was supposed to disciple him. It's all about me. No, it's not about you. It's not about me. Today, some of us need to get somebody on our heart and say, Lord, I realize you brought them in my life. It might be your children. It might be a friend. It might be a parent. It might be a neighbor. It might be a co-worker. Who are you discipling? Now, I'm not saying meet at 1 o'clock on Tuesday every week, and that's discipleship. Discipleship is when you're with them and you're pouring into them, and there's deliberate, intentional plan to see God work in their life and develop them. Who are you discipling? You say, I've invited somebody to church. That's just the starting point, my brother or sister. God wants you to pour it. See, you're here at church today. You're hearing the Word of God. What is it for? Is it just to say, well, brother, pastor, I enjoyed the message? No. It's to go out in this whole world and say, bless God, I'm going to pour into somebody else what God's poured into me. That's our problem today, is we just get to the point where we just forget about the multiplication of duplication. That's the early church. Now you say, but I don't know who I can disciple. My time limited. I go here and there. Guess what? Use your time for the Lord. Disciple people around you. You say, but I can't preach to them. You can show them the way. Amen. You can have a purpose. You can have a plan that they come experience Jesus and be saved. And then after they get born in the family of God, then they're going to look to you to lead the way. Who are you discipling? I didn't say who you're arguing with. I didn't say who you're debating with. I said, who are you discipling? Listen to me, folks. I guarantee you there's some people right here in New Rocky Creek Baptist Church would love for somebody to come alongside of them, to pray with them, and share with them the truth of God's Word. If you don't believe me, just ask them. I'm talking about just pouring into them. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to share with you. It's iron. Sharpens iron. The flint sharpens the countenance of a friend. Who are you discipling? Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Hey, how about it today? How many will say today, Lord, in 2013, I want to purpose in my heart to at least disciple one person? Will you purpose in your heart today? You see, if you don't purpose in your heart, probably you won't do it. Hello. Man, I tell you, this place could be turned upside down if we just start discipling other people. This place would be turned upside down. We could have a greater impact in our community if we just start pouring into others. I know that's not Deanna's. Tell them I'm busy. Amen. Oh, man. I didn't say who you're calling, amen. I said who you're discipling. Anyway, where we're at. We're on point number 5. We got to go. Real reasons for following Jesus. Here they are. The 5th and final. Well, back to the thing of transformation. The believer's transformation. This is number 4. Is Jesus changing your life? Question, is Jesus changing your life? Has he changed your life? Are you changed? If you're not changed, you're not saved. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Praise the Lord. He's changed. Guess where he changes us? From the inside out. He doesn't go from the outside in. Man changes from the outside in. I think I'll start going to church. I think I'll start singing a few songs. I think I'll start, you know, putting all this facade on. But Jesus changes us from the inside out. And guess what he does? He changes from the inside out. You know why? Because he wants us to change and use those influences in somebody else's life to see him transform them as well. Can I tell you about a story? How many have heard of the name William Carey? William Carey was a missionary. And William Carey was in a mission conference. William Carey heard a message entitled, "Who Will Go?" And it was said in this mission conference, India is like a gold mine found in the center of the earth. Who will go? It's like a gold mine. India, there's lost people everywhere, just like Jasper County, Newton County, Butts County, Putnam County, all around us. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? William Carey said, "I'll go, provided you hold the rope. I'll go down to India. I'll go down into the center of the earth, figuratively speaking. I will go down if you hold the rope." Who will hold the rope now? I want you to know, brother and sister, look at me, hear me. I will go into this community. You will go in this community. But sometimes we need somebody to hold the rope. Will you go? Will you make a telephone call? Will you, before next week is over, listen to me. So often we don't make application to the message. Will you, I'm challenging you, will you make at least one contact before next Sunday to invite somebody to come to church? Will you do it? Make one contact. I didn't say 100. Will you make one contact? Come on now. Let's don't just hear the word. Let's do the word. Can I get an amen? This is something you can do. This is practical. Will you say, "Lord, I will make one contact, at least one, before next Sunday. Invite somebody to come to church. Hold the rope." Who's going to hold the rope? There's a transformation that takes place. And here's the deal, my brother. Here's the deal, my sister. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. Holding the rope, going out into a community. Praise God. Have you ever heard of a sequoia tree? Have you ever heard of sequoia? Anybody know what a sequoia? Have you, anybody here ever been out to California or Nevada? Have you seen those great, big, massive, have you seen those trees, sequoias or redwoods? I haven't seen them. I've not been out there, but I've heard. They are massive. They are humongous. We're talking about 150 feet in the air, 250 feet in the air. Some even over 300 feet in the air. And not only that, but many, some are over 40 feet in diameter. That's a pretty big tree, isn't it? I think it's 40 feet, if I'm not mistaken. Man, you can drive a car through some of these great big trees. Have you seen pictures of them, the sequoias? Man, they're massive. You, guess what? You think, man, they probably got a deep root system, right? Wrong. They've got a tap root, right? Wrong. Something's got to hold them up, man. The wind blows a big tree like that, as big as they are, man, that'll blow them down. Guess what kind of root system they've got? Guess how deep it goes in the ground, so we're told. 4 feet. 4 feet. Or perhaps a little bit more. A great big tree that size. Well, how do they do it? How can they draw strength? Here's how they draw strength. They integrate those root systems. It goes out and it spreads. They're planted in groves. Here's one tree. Here's another tree. Here's another tree. Here's another. And they all intermingle under the ground, the root system. And they're able to be strong. They're able to withhold because they're working together. They're holding up each other. They're strengthening each other. They're cooperating with each other. Their root system is tied together. I see a picture of the church right there. I see a picture of me and you working together. I see a picture of that root system integrated. Brother, you hold the line. You go out and witness. Hey, go out to Sunday school. Go out to Awana's. Hey, serve in the choir. Come to church. Be an usher. Be in the children's church and Access Teen Ministry. Hey, it's working together. Man, we're able to be strengthened. We're able to stand the devil's onslaught because, thank God, Jesus is the cornerstone. We're under persecution, beloved. We need to stand like now, like never before. Amen. Last but not least, and I'll be done, and it's this. Number five, the fifth real reason why we need to follow Jesus, be faithful followers to the finish, and it's this. Because of the earth's evacuation. Not only the others, as I mentioned, the earth's evacuation. Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me see your hand. You know what it's like to plow? Why, you don't look back, you'll get zigzag. You got to look straight, my friend, or else your paths will get zigzag. And Jesus said, follow me. No man looking back, he said, is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's say that together. Is fit for the kingdom of God. Say it again. Is fit for the kingdom of God. One more time. For the kingdom of God. Do you know there's two kingdoms? There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. Jesus made it clear through Paul. He said, for every believer, Colossians 1:13, he's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. There's two kings and there's two kingdoms. Question, which king are you serving? Hello. Which king are you serving? The kingdom of darkness, Satan, or the kingdom of light? I'll close with this story. How many of you heard of this video called The Battle of Kruger? Anybody? The Battle of Kruger. I was reading along in a book some time ago, and it noted this, The Battle of Kruger. It's on YouTube, and over 62 million people have viewed it. Is this. There is a herd of buffaloes, water buffaloes. How many know what a water buffalo is? Water buffaloes. Man, they're bad. They don't mess around. Water buffaloes don't. Big old bulls, big horns. These herd, about 100 of them, and they're walking in Africa near a water hole. Meanwhile, off in the distance is a pack of lions. They're lying in the bushes, the sagebrush, watching every move of the buffalo. And just as the buffalo get closer and closer near the waterhole, the lions spring out and run, and the buffalo scatter. They pick out a weak young calf, that is the lions. They wrestle him to the ground. They, about four or five of them, pounce on that young calf, and they tumble down the hill near the water hole. It's a big water hole, and they're trying to put the death grip on that young calf buffalo, and it looks like it's all over. It looks like there's no hope. And about that time, a crocodile comes submerging out of the water and grabs the leg of that young calf, and there's a tug of war. The crocodile's trying to pull him into the water, and the lions are pulling the young calf out, and there's a tug of war, and finally the lions win the tug of war. It looks like it's all over for that young calf. You wonder, there's no way that calf could be alive. They're still on him. They still got the death grip on him. They're going for the jugular. Man, how long is that calf going to be able to manage? About that time, you can't see it, but in the picture, here comes the herd of buffalo, 100 of them, and they circle around that pack of lions as they're on the baby, that calf, and the buffalo circle around, and they start moving in closer and closer, and the lions are getting a lot of nervous. Man, they're starting to look around, and the water holes behind the lions, and the bulls, and those big old water buffalo just keep getting finally, one of the big male dominant buffaloes reaches down with his head and his horn and picks up one of them lions about 15 feet in the air, and he scatters, and there's two more lions that got a hold of that young calf, and by and by they close in, and next thing you know, that young calf gets up and the lions let it go and run for their life. The calf gets up and walks off with a herd of buffalo. We're in a world of persecution where the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. No, brother, wait a minute. The earth's evacuation. Wait a minute. I feel pressure on every side. Wait a minute. The devil's whipping us. The devil's beating on us. The devil's going for the jugular vein and the crocodiles of this old world and the God haters and the atheists and the agnostic and those that the devil would use. They're biting on us and the world is beating on us and the devil's trying to kill us. But wait a minute. I read in the book where one day Jesus is coming again. I said one day the Lord's coming back in glory and power. I know this old persecution just going to last for a little while, but I've got good news, praise God. My Lord said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to be with you, in you, and upon you. Praise God that one plus God is always a majority. I want you to know you might be in a battle right now, but the battle, hallelujah, is the Lord's. Glory be to His name. He said He's going to come back for us. Just like that, herd of buffalo came back for that calf. Be encouraged, brother. Be encouraged, sister, as we stand together.